Our story is again about the great Tana, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. And we mentioned in the past that Rabbi Yeshua, although he was an impoverished blacksmith, was unusually sharp and wise, knowledgeable in the Tanakh and our oral tradition. He was one of Rabbi Akiva's Rabbeim. And the Roman Emperor had a great fondness for Rabbi Yeshua. The Christians, the Jews who had turned to Christianity had often tried to outwit Rabbi Yeshua, and he was very sharp and on his toes, and he knew how to answer them. And the Talmud in Chulin tells us the following story, that one day the Caesar invited Rabbi Yeshua to his palace, and the Caesar was very proud of his wealth, and he had a great idea. He said to Rabbi Yeshua, he said, "I want to make a meal for your God and all of his soldiers." Now, thank you. The Caesar, being a pagan, he figured just like he makes meals for Zeus and all the other gods, so too he can make a meal for the Jewish God and all of his soldiers. So he was sure that Rabbi Yeshua would be happy with this news. Here he wants to honor God. Rabbi Yeshua says, "It's not possible, Your Honor." And the Caesar was insulted. He said, "Why? You think I can't do it? You think I don't have enough money?" "Oh no, you have a lot of money," Rabbi Yeshua says, "but God has so many soldiers, you won't be able to do it." The Caesar says, "Even though there are a lot of soldiers, I want to do it. I want to honor the Jewish God. So the only question I have for you is where, in what location should I make the party?" So Rabbi Yeshua saw that the Caesar is insisting and he's not getting the hint. So he said, "Okay, my advice is that you take a huge beach, and over there, near the ocean, over there you should set up the meal. There you'll have wide space for the army." So the Caesar heard Rabbi Yeshua's advice, and he sent his servants to this huge beach. And he spent 6 months, all of spring and all of summer, bringing tables and couches and plates and dishes and wines and oils and anything you could imagine, cooks and waitresses and people to roast and meat and everything you could imagine that a king would like in honor of the Jewish God. And for 6 months, they're preparing this huge feast. And the Caesar himself went over there and checked and kept an eye that everything was the way it should be. And at the end of the summer, everything was almost ready. And one day, a great wind started blowing. And the wind got more and more powerful until it became a tornado. And it took everything they prepared, all 6 months, and threw it into the sea. Now the Caesar was upset. They had just spent 6 months preparing. But he was determined to succeed. So he wasn't going to admit that the wind was able to undo everything he had planned in 6 months. And when the tornado got quiet, everything settled down, he started new plans for a new party. And again, his servants worked hard and toiled, and he looked over everything they did. And all 6 months of the fall and the winter, they were preparing and preparing, and they were almost finished. And one day, just before they finished, some great rains came down and it turned into a flood, and it took everything he prepared and washed it off into the sea. And now the Caesar calls over Rabbi Yeshua. It's a year later, a year has passed, and he says, "What's going on here? I prepared once, I prepared twice. Why does the wind and the rain takes everything off?" And Rabbi Yeshua said, "They are but servants of God. They just came to clean the floor before God's soldiers come. You said you're having great guests, God's soldiers." So the wind came and the rain came. They came to prepare the dance floor, so to speak. They are just the servants, and they took their portion of the meal. But wait, the main guests haven't yet come. And when the Caesar heard that answer, then he understood that he was being proud. That God's power is beyond our concepts. And at that point, the Caesar sat down and thought, and he said, I guess you're right. I can't make such a meal for God. There's a book, Inherit the Wind. And over there, the lawyer has a conversation. It's about the lawsuit, the legal case that went before the American Supreme Court as to whether they could teach about God in the public schools.
The Scopes trial.
Right, the Scopes trial. And the lawyer over there discusses God created man in God's form. And does man limit God to man's form? Is it God who put us in His form, the way the Torah says, or do we also limit God to our form? It's very convenient to bring God down to our terms, and we have to remember the distance between us and God, as Shlomo Melech says in Koheles. Be careful what you speak, for God is in the heavens and you are on earth. God has done us a great favor. He has communicated with us. He's given us the Torah. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that He's high up there and we are down here. Rav Moshe Cordoviro in the Tomer Dvorah discusses what does it mean to be a God-fearing person. And he says most people, if you speak to them about it, you see that their fear is on a very low level. They're scared of getting sick. They're scared of getting punished. They're scared of not having what they need. But those are all external things. They have nothing to do with God, so to speak. They're not connected to God per se. They are external to God. They are like God's servants. God grants us health. It's a gift that God gives. But that's not fear of God. That's fear of losing a gift. That's fear of a punishment. It's not fear of God Himself. So he says one of the ways to attain a true Yirat Shamayim, a true fear of heaven, is that a person think to himself, and this is in his 8th or 9th chapter, I think in the 8th chapter of the Tomer Devorah. So over there he says four formulas. The first formula he gives, he says, a person should think if he'd turn around and he'd see a lion. He'd see a lion standing there. He'd be very scared. If he'd see a bear, if he'd see an avalanche, if he'd see a huge fire, he'd be very, very scared. Scared for his life, he'd be scared. And if a person stops and thinks, he'd realize that these are all small, small toys before God. They are creatures that God created. How much greater is God Himself? We don't think about it often. The idea that we can talk to God and that God is personal with us and that God watches over us, Hashgacha Pratit, we talk to God three times a day, so that sometimes makes us feel like God is our friend, God is right here with us. Well, yes, in a positive sense, God is right here with us, but not in the sense that we can diminish God's honor. And the Caesar's mistake was that he applied it in diminishing God's honor. He thought, well, I could honor God. So we have a responsibility to speak respectfully. We have a responsibility to do what we can in honoring. But we also have a responsibility to recognize that there's this huge distance between us and God.